Brother Eric John Phelps, welcome to 24/7 World Radio. And as we continue on with our series of clarifying, correcting, and defending the AV-1611, this is now part 2 of 5, as I will be dealing with certain clarifications in a particular passage of Scripture, and today that passage is Revelation 22, verse 2. But before I do this, I want to predicate what I'm doing based upon what the translators to the reader wrote when they had dedicated their AV-1611 Bible in 1611. And in this translators to the reader, which is some 26 pages, they tell us here a key thing they anticipated, that there would be the necessity for corrections of their work. This flies in the face of the AV-1611 King James only fanatics that believe that the AV-1611 English Bible cannot be clarified or cannot be corrected for its betterment, and hence, therefore, it is not perfect, and hence, it is not the Word of God, which is absolutely nonsense. It is perfect. It is complete. It is the Word of God. It is inspired, although indirectly inspired. It's our final authority of faith and practice for those of us who speak English. It's the only English Bible that we seek to use, knowing that it's been blessed of God for the last 400 years. And so when I read it in English, I read the Word of God. As Luther said concerning the German, he says, I have made the German to sing as do the Greek. God has chosen to save his elect, that he ordained to salvation before the foundation of the world, through using translations, as the Great Commission is given to the apostles to go into all nations, preaching whatsoever I've commanded you. How are they going to do that? They're going to have to translate the Bible into their language. So, in the translation of the Bible into their language, there are places that can be clarified and even corrected according to the translators to the reader in our AV-1611. And so that we shall do. We shall make a correction, but it's still the inspired, inerrant Word of God. It's a clarification, a correction. And the word correct was used by the translators to the reader on page, in my Bible, page 19. And here is what they said. They said, and I quote, "For by this means it cometh to pass that whatsoever is sound already, and all is sound for substance in one or other of our editions, namely the other English Bibles, and the worst of ours far better than their authentic vulgar," referring to the papacy's Jerome's Latin Vulgate, and being in Latin, of course, "the same will shine as gold more brightly, being rubbed and polished. Also, if anything be halting or superfluous, or not so agreeable to the original," that's the original Hebrew and Greek, which we have inspired and preserved for us in the Ben Chaim Hebrew text and the Beza's text of 1598, which they're referring to, which is a Greek text, "the same may be corrected and the truth set in place. And what can the king command to be done that will bring him more true honor than this?" So, the translators to the reader said that there will be places in their work, the AV-1611, that may be corrected and the truth set in place. And so that's what I am doing in 5 illustrations to you, dear listener, that there are certain places in the AV-1611 that need clarification or even correction, yet it still doesn't mean that it is not the indirectly inspired Word of God. Okay? So, we're going to go now to Revelation chapter 22, verse 2. We read Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which have 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. So this is the eternal state. This is the new heavens and the new earth of Revelation chapter 21. And it goes on with describing it as there is a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And this is in the city. This is in the New Jerusalem. On the new earth. And I would add on the new flat earth. That the earth is a plane now, and it's going to be a plane then. And then we read, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. This is the tree of life that was in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God took that tree of life when the flood came, and he took it into heaven. And it's there, being waiting to be used for this purpose here in Revelation 22. There was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. This simply means there will be time in eternity. There will be months. If there are months, there will be years. And so eternity does involve time. There are ages. And the little phrase, forever and ever, is unto the ages of the ages. There are every age is a period of time. And when one age finishes, another will begin. Christ is the author of all the ages, according to Hebrews chapter 1. So we see there will be fruit, a different kind of fruit every month, that's yielded on this tree of life. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now that brings a problem. Does that mean during the eternal state, when men have glorified bodies, they cannot die, there is no more death, there is no more pain? How do we know there's no more death and no more pain? Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. It was on down verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So, this is the city on the new earth that's being described in Revelation 22. Actually, where there's this river, this pure river that's being described here in the midst of the city, which has a street. And there's a tree of life. So at this particular place, there is no pain, there is no death, there is no crying. And so why do we have the word here for the healing of the nations? There will be nations in eternity. God is a nationalist. There will be different, distinct nations known by their race, their language, their culture, in eternity on the flat, the new flat earth. But the healing of the nations, will they be sick? There can be no sickness because there's no death. There can be no damage that needs to be healed to their bodies. They live in a glorified body. You cannot damage a glorified body. And so the healing of the nations, we have to look at this word, the healing, and see if it means something else. Or if it can mean something else. And I maintain it does. We're going to look at a few tools here now and see what they have to say. One of our tools is Thayer's lexicon. I addressed him previously that he was an infidel, he was a Unitarian, he denied the deity of Christ, and he put in all sorts of higher criticism notes in this lexicon that was originally written and assembled by a godly German named Grim Wilkes. And so we read concerning that particular Greek word that was translated healing. It's therapion, where we get our word therapy. And it is defined as service. First definition is service, rendered by anyone to another. So, it's for the service of the nations. But what does that mean? The second definition is medical service, caring, healing. And so the translators rightly translated it because that is a legitimate definition. But does the definition fit the context? And that's what we must always ask. And I maintain that definition, that secondary definition of the particular word, therapion, does not fit the context, because there is no death, there is no pain. So how can there possibly be hurt, and there be therefore the necessity of healing? The first use of the term, the first definition of the term, is a service rendered by anyone to another. That's out of Thayer's. Our next tool is Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, which is a classic dictionary. All you need to know is the English word out of the AV 1611 Bible that you're looking for. By the way, all these tools are written for the use and for the study of the AV 1611 Bible. That's where the greatest lexicons and the greatest dictionaries were written. At the height of the circulation of the AV 1611. Strong's Concordance, Young's Concordance are master concordances, and they were put together to ferret out, to investigate the words used in the AV 1611 Bible. So our second tool is Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. On page 204, the particular word for that is healing, it says that it is for therapy of the nations. For therapy of the nations. For service of the nations. For therapy. Strong's Concordance says it's the definition can be to cure, heal, or get this word, worship. To adore God. Young's Concordance, healing. So therefore we have this particular usage of the word therapin. And so this word, I maintain, should be properly translated as the worship of God. The therapeutic worship of God. Now you can't put that in the translation here. That's ridiculous. Healing is fine. We leave it there. But we're clarifying the underlying Greek word that was translated healing based upon the context. And hence, it has to do with to adore God. It is therapeutic. Did you realize worshiping God is therapeutic? It's good for us. It'll be good for them in the eternal state, in the new earth, on the new earth, with God the Father on the new earth, with the Son, God the Son, and in the New Jerusalem that's also on the earth. It's going to be a spectacular sight. It's going to be 1,000 times better than Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz when they finally arrive at the Emerald City. It's 1,000,000,000 times better than that. And so what could possibly this mean for the service of the nations, for the therapy of the nations, to glorify, to adore God? Well, think about it. These are the leaves of the tree of life. This is the only tree that's going to be bearing fruit every month throughout the eternal state of the ages. As one age begins and ends, another age begins and ends. And the tree of life will be there for all the ages. It's eternal. That's why it was so dangerous for the tree of life to be there in the garden without the four cherubim guarding the way to it, that nobody would try to eat of this fruit. Because if they did, here would be an eternal sinner. And I'm sure the giants tried to do it. I'm sure the sons of God tried to do it. I'm sure they tried to get to the tree of life to eat it. There must have been conspiracy after conspiracy. So let's try to distract the cherubim so that their whirling, flaming swords would not kill us as we tried to get to the tree of life and eat. So, if the flood takes place, the tree of life is taken up into heaven and it's eternal. It can never die. It bears fruit, and it's going to be bearing fruit, different kind of fruit every month on the new earth. And we'll be there on the new earth, too. And we'll be able to eat of that fruit, too. And in this, at this time, there will be nations, the peoples known by their nations, because remember, those of us in the church, body of Christ, are known by our nation, our kindred, our tongue, our genus, our race, if you please. And that will be forever maintained. Our national distinction will be forever maintained. And so the church, the body of Christ, must assuredly be part of the nations here. Being spoken in Revelation 22, verse 2. And the leaves of the tree were for the service of the nations in our serving God in eternity. Well, how could these leaves be used for the service of God? We don't eat them, we eat the fruit. I maintain that these leaves have a special, wonderful odor, a savor, that we can either breathe it straight, we can probably crush it and rub oil on ourselves, who knows, or we can burn these leaves and have a wonderful savor in the worship of God, in our homes, in our mansions that we will be living in, as we burn these leaves, offering up a sweet savor to God. Because remember, there's no more temple. There's no temple on the new earth. It's gone. There's no need for it. There's no sin. But I find it intriguing, as we read in the Old Testament, that the Lord had the altar of incense, where they would burn frankincense on this, a wonderful incense, and it was pleasing to God to burn this wonderful smelling oils. Could these leaves be made into oils, crushed into oils, and we burn our oils in our mansions? Or could these leaves be like dried herbs? The leaves are off the tree. There's no death, so there's no death of the leaves, so the leaves can be, I don't know, smelled, burned, something being done to produce an odor of these leaves of the tree of life that is a sweet-smelling savor to God and is involved in our adoration and worship of Him. Now, for years, I was confused about this because I'm thinking healing. Well, if there's healing, there's a problem. Somebody's getting hurt. You can't get hurt in a glorified body. Maybe this is referring back to the millennial kingdom. No, the context is the new heavens and the new earth and the tree of life and the river and the street and the tree of life with its leaves for the healing or for the use or for the service or for the worship of God for the nations in eternity. That's what I maintain, dear brethren. I maintain, even though healing is a legitimate translation of the word, therapion, it doesn't mean healing. It means therapy. It means for the service. It means for the adoration of God in the use of these leaves, which may well include burning or crushing or making some sort of an essential oil. But in conclusion, there is no death, there is no pain, there is no sorrow, there is nobody getting hurt in the eternal ages unto the ages of the ages, as we live on the Lord's new flat earth, underneath his new heaven, and the new Jerusalem has come down, and it is setting upon the new earth, and we have fellowship with God the Father. There's no night, there's no sea. We have regular fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, and there will be months, and during each month there will be a different fruit off the tree of life that we can eat and enjoy, while we use the leaves for the adoration and the worship of God in some way that I don't know about, but it's something, and it's going to be wonderful. So in conclusion, that is a clarification of the AV 1611 in Revelation 22, verse 2. The Lord bless you as you do his will according to his word, as we clarify, correct, and defend the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible for English-speaking peoples, the foundational book for the English Protestant Reformation that continued ultimately to build the British Empire and the American Republic, the book that God used to take the ends of the earth and was translated in some 100 different dialects and languages, that he used to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to his elect that he had foreordained and he had predestined to salvation before the foundation of the earth. May God bless us as we seek to do his will according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible.